You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
Marlins gave me a little help, Bill.
Your Mets, I mean.
Well, they got a doubleheader today.
Well, they. But
oh yeah, they got rained out last night.
They
right?
lose one and they blow it for themselves. They could.
They can't lose one.
No, they can't.
The magic number is one. Braves win one, Mets lose one.
Yeah. But they. I mean, I'm assuming that the first game of the doubleheader is in the afternoon, so they could lose the division before the Marlins even play the Braves tonight.
Yes, I think the first game is.
Well, the Marlins have won 6 out of 7, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
And that Brewers series, man.
They're getting hot just at the right time.
They're just playing spoiler.
It's nice to go into the offseason, Bill, with a little.
There's nothing else that they do this year.
Their pitching has been good. I was looking at like the batting average against and like numbers of their pitchers. Their pitching's been really good. Their offense is just so dreadful that they couldn't do anything with the pitching that they got.
4-10 for
12 strikeouts last night.
Yeah, 12 Ks. Lizardo.
Yeah.
4-10 for the first game.
Yeah?
Yeah. Carrasco.
Where do you think the season turned for you guys? Is it the trumpet?
The Braves getting hot.
Yeah.
Yep. Braves are good.
I don't like this attitude that Mets fans have, where you've like just accepted that the season's over because you play the Padres in the first round more than likely.
I don't think Mets... I think they're disappointed that it wins the division after leading that division the entire season. Losing it at the very end... That Braves series was very disappointing.
Well, yeah.
You had the rotation set up perfectly. You had DeGrom in game one, Scherzer in game two, and the Mets got swept.
I think going into it, you had like a 90% chance of winning the division. And then afterwards, you had a like 79% chance of, or the Braves had like a 79% chance of winning the division.
But I don't think Mets fans are.
Yeah, it's over. That's the sense that I get.
I don't feel like it's over.
Really? I do think Mets fans feel similarly doom and gloom as I feel like about the Dolphins, where you're always prepared for bad things to happen.
Well, because they usually do happen, except for the one year where they didn't happen in 1986. Other than that, it always happens. I mean, Mets fans and Jet fans, they're right, the same creature.
It's the condition.
If you're a Jet fan, you're a Met fan. You've been through some tough times.
It's the condition of supporting the B teams in New York, right? Not to be overly harsh about it, but...
They're the B teams in New York.
Right. Like, there's a condition that comes with that. You just sort of assume the worst. You assume the Jets will be bad. You assume the Islanders will be bad. You assume that all of the B teams in New York will be bad. And you're sort of bracing for it before it's even happened.
It's a weird city in this respect. The Giants have won a bunch of Super Bowls. The Jets have won one. The Islanders have won 4 Stanley Cups in my lifetime. Went to 5 straight. Won 4 straight. And yet the Rangers are the biggest story in town by a lot. The one Stanley Cup they won. The Islanders won 4 in a row. The one cup that Messier won for the Rangers was a much bigger deal than the Islanders winning 4 in a row. So, yeah, like rooting for those B teams is super difficult.
And they're and all then, your favorites? You only, you like.
I'm a B team guy.
You're
B team.
You're all B team things.
Should really have adopted the Brooklyn Nets as a result.
No.
Kevin Durant too much. He's compromised there.
Growing up, it was in New Jersey. They played in New Jersey. So it was Kittles and Jason Kidd and those guys. They went to the finals a couple of years, but no, that was never an option
Stugatz,
for me.
I have not been able to tell. Billy, can you tell me whether you can tell whether Stugatz has just been at dead shows and moving his kids so he hasn't been that interested in the Met season because of laziness and indifference, or because they've broken his heart so many times that the couple of times we have engaged him on the Mets, he's doomsdaying because he thinks they're doomed to lose to the Padres in the playoffs and he's going to get his heart broken again?
Well,
he's saying
that he doesn't feel that way, that he doesn't think the weird thing about it is the Mets have the exact same record as the Yankees right now.
I know.
If they win 2 games, they're going to win 100 games on the season.
Yep. And they should. They're playing Washington to wrap up the season.
But the feeling is like the season was a disappointment with 100 wins. That's crazy.
No, the season's a disappointment when you lead the division the entire season, and then at the very end you lose it with your staff set up against the Braves. That's the disappointment, but I still think they can beat the Padres. It's baseball, man.
But the Braves are really good.
I know the Braves are really good, but the Mets are also really good. They're a game worse than the Braves, and so I still feel... Listen, for me, I feel optimistic. Like, I think they could beat the Padres. I think they could beat the Dodgers. They could beat anyone because they have DeGrom and Scherzer.
You think they could beat the Dodgers?
DeGrom and Scherzer. Yes, they could beat anyone. I mean, they can. It's a good Mets team.
It's just baseball. It's just anybody.
Weird stuff happens.
The Cardinals can win the World Series.
That's really the truth about all of this, is the Mets could still win. I think the Mets could win the World Series, and Mets fans will still be pissed that they lost the division.
They might, yes.
That they blew the division lead that they had.
Yes.
I do like the pivot of scrappy underdog New York Mets that have spent so much freaking money.
So much money.
Now the pivot is, hey, with DeGrom and Scherzer, hey, we could beat anybody.
Billy.
It could be our year.
And I'll East, huh? Sneaky good division.
Yeah.
Three teams in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Who'd have thunk it?
Billy, how did you feel last night? Did you tune in instead of Monday Night Football? Did you didn't tune in to watch the Braves? I thought you love spoiler. I would figure you would be the guy all for anarchy and sure, have the Marlins get up 4-0 on the Braves and shut them out.
The thing is that I like the role of spoiler, but I don't like the people benefiting from the spoiling that's being done. So I'm very confused. Conflicted.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't like the idea of helping the Phillies make the playoffs. That does absolutely nothing for me.
Mets win a division. Right?
Yeah. I mean, helping, that's the thing, is like, is it helping the Braves lose the division or helping the Mets win the division? And either one isn't a good option for me. Same thing with like making sure the Brewers didn't make the playoffs. Like, cool, but now the Phillies are making the playoffs and I don't like them either. You know, so there's no good options. The thing is that my fandom is largely, and it's great, my fandom largely revolves around hating other teams, you know, because my team, and this is like a historic moment that happened last week. My team, the Marlins, just last week became the team with the worst winning percentage in baseball. The Padres have now handed that title over to the Marlins before it was the Padres had the worst winning percentage.
Oh,
historically,
ever.
Ever.
In the history of baseball.
Yeah, in the history of baseball. Yeah, so like it's going to be a battle back
this
and forth.
Week, so you
it happened last week, I believe, yeah. So the Marlins...
We should have had a ceremony for you as like the greatest loser, right?
I mean, it's also... That's the thing, though. It's also like a tricky one because they may as a franchise have the worst winning percentage, but they've won 2 World Series. So it's like... And they've never won the division.
Not only two, but you... Stugatz forgot one of the Mets ones, but you say a loser...
Well, 86 and 69?
Yes, there was 69, but that the Marlins have won as many as the Mets is funny.
Yeah, I mean, and they've won more than the Padres. They've won more than a bunch of teams.
Since 97, how many teams have won 2 World Series? I'm guessing not a lot. I'm certain the Yankees have.
Yes, they're the Giants. The Cardinals.
I don't think the Dodgers have since 97.
No, the Dodgers have. The Braves haven't because they won the one. I think the Braves have 2 World Series, right? But they won in 96 or 95. When did they win? So it's a lot.
95, they beat the Indians.
Yeah, it's a lot of winning that they've done in terms of championships, but that's the only winning that they've done, which is like a really strange thing to say. Like when they win, they win, and when they don't, they don't.
They only have one playoff round they've won, and it was in the pandemic season, right? Other than the 2 World Series where they won all of the playoffs.
Don't get me started. They could have gone on a run there if those damn cheating Cubs wouldn't have broken Starling Marte's wrist. Which, by the way, you need him back too, huh? What's his deal? Can he grab a bat or what?
No, he's out. He's out for the rest of the season.
Just tape his hand to the bat. It's fine. Like, if he can't grip it, just tape his hand to it. What's the big deal? Why can't you do that? Put a bunch of pine tar on it. Why can't we do that?
Mike, I wanted to ask you about something that was happening with the Heat. But before I do that, Stugatz, did you see?
And by the way, to answer your question, the list since 97, the Yankees, the Giants, the Cardinals, and the Red Sox. Those are the teams. And the Florida Marlins. The teams who win multiple championships since 1997.
So great. Doesn't it give you a sense
funny.
Of pride, guys?
It is
one more than the Dodgers.
Those are our illustrious ball clubs.
So great.
It's just wild. Like, they're complete.
They're very much all and nothing.
They're events that happened in their own individuality. They were not connected to anything. There was not a building of team. There was not multiple playoff runs. It's just one-off events that happen, flashes in the pan, and then it's gone.
Do you not understand how Miami sports fans became the way that they are? We didn't have anything, and then next thing you know, it's just all or nothing, and we're filling a football stadium for a World Series crowd. You got 80,000 people there. Because it's not a baseball stadium. It's a football stadium. We're great at these singular events and nothing else.
But how could we know if Miami would support a baseball team if they have the worst winning percentage in the history of baseball?
Like, that's a good question.
Like, because they won twice and then stripped it down both times afterwards.
Yeah, why would you go two seasons after they won? You wouldn't.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
Let's go Islanders. Bump, 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 bump.
Stugats.
Let's go Islanders. Bump, 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 bump.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugats.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
How many World Series champion managers since 1997 can you name? I think you could do a, I think you'd be very good at this game.
Terry Francona.
All right, hang on. Let me write down how many there are.
Because there's repeat managers.
Okay.
You, I think Billy will carry us here because I think our show suffers, Stugatz. I don't know how your aging process has worked in sports, but mine involved forgetting what players' numbers were, then forgetting what stadium names were called when they started changing.
That's not fair, though, because they changed the sponsorships.
Even before they were changing this much, though, I was losing very fast interest in what things were named. And then the next spot in aging for me was, I don't care who the managers are anymore.
Oh, no.
I don't care whether Gabe Kapler is here or there. It doesn't matter to me whether or not...
Gabe Kapler is not the one I would have chosen. Smoldering.
Yeah, it does matter.
I think crude count, but I think there are 18 World Series champion managers since 1997.
And is one of them like Mike Matheny or something?
Are we Cardinals? Yeah. Nope.
Are we including 97?
Yeah, we're starting at Leland.
Right? Okay, so there's Leland.
And Trader Jack.
And then Torrey. We'll just try to go in order. Leland, Torrey.
I don't know the World Series champion.
Bob Brenly was the manager of the Diamondbacks.
Arizona got one.
Right?
Arizona. Yeah.
Brenly, wow.
Who won in between? It was just Marlins and then Yankees.
No.
And
Torrey, There was the red team.
Oh, the Angels. Mike Socia.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
All right, so you got up to 03. Where's 04?
Bochy's in there a bunch of times.
Bochy's in there.
04 is the Red Sox. That was
Joe Torre has Francona. To be in there, obviously.
Francona's in there.
Yeah, Tito. Yeah.
Ozzy's in there.
Ozzy's in there.
Oh, that's right. Ozzy snuck in there. One of them. Like, that's right.
Five.
I'm trying
right?
to. The game Holy that I'm really shit. Like enjoying Ozzie right Gian. Now is trying to pick the ones that you're not going to get. Because there's a couple in here that. Well, Girardi, I'm not going to lie. Like, I straight up read a name for the first time in my life. I had no idea.
Well, Joe Maddon finally got one.
Maddon got one. Girardi got one.
Girardi got one with the
Yankees. Snicker on the last one.
Yeah.
Snicker.
The Braves.
Dave Roberts. Got one with
Dave
the Dodgers.
Got one.
Haven't said the one that I know that you're not going to get.
Who is the Astros manager?
Oh, the band manager?
The band manager.
AJ Hinch.
Manager.
AJ Hinch.
Hinch?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's you still haven't said the one.
The one.
There's look one you're looking there's for. There's
what year was it?
I'm not going to give you that. Come
okay.
On.
Well,
this is the Cardinals Phillies? Manager then, right? Charlie Manuel was not the manager of
Charlie,
the Phillies,
no.
Was he?
Yeah, he was.
He was?
That's one of the
names. Oh, wow.
Wait, La Russa had to win one, right?
La Russa did.
Yeah.
But Mike is just saying there's Bochy? One right now. No, we've got Bochy already a couple of times.
Matheny didn't win.
Okay, but the card
Matheny lost to the manager that I know you're not going to be able to name.
This is the problem. This is where I've gotten stuck. I didn't know who the Cardinals manager was.
Oh, I know who it is. Ned Yost.
No,
that's the Royals manager. Wow. Yeah.
So who did
it's
the
Car- be a Red Sox
who did the Cardinals know? I want to say
You're getting warmer. Someone is.
Joey Cora was not the manager.
No, Alex Cora won.
Alex Cora won.
Nah, you still haven't named it. Same. All right,
Oh wow,
we're calling the race.
I shouldn't say Joey and Alex are the same. I apologize for that.
John Farrell.
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 We could have been here all day.
Yes, and Mike knew it.
John Farrell won a World Series with the 2013 Boston Red Sox.
Did we get all the others?
And he beat Mike Matheny.
Did we get all the others?
Do you think that Mike Schur would easily get that? Do you think that Mike Schur would just go through that when he does stat of the day that he would, or that he too would get stuck on Farrell? Because
You did miss one other one.
We missed one, yeah.
Yeah, 2019.
2019. Who won in 2019?
Oh, you don't remember the run of Anthony Rendon?
Oh, the Nationals manager?
Who was the Nationals manager that year? Hold on a second. He's square-faced. I mean,
we were commemorating the change in sports radio earlier today. This is what it used to sound like.
I produced this show. Bad bullpen decisions.
Before the internet, nobody could look things up, so you were just doing it from memory.
And there was like your one impressive friend that could answer all these questions, and you were like, wow, what an impressive person you are, because you can
look,
name
Billy
all the
Billy is stumped back
managers.
There. Billy, it's
Boog.
2019.
If someone sat me down and said, name all the Washington Nationals managers, I think I'd get one.
Frank Robinson.
I would say Matt Williams.
What?
Dusty Baker?
Dusty Baker? That sounds right.
I so badly wanted to shout Jim Riggleman.
Riggs.
Riggs. So you guys didn't know John Farrell, and you did not know
Dave Lopez.
Dave Martinez.
I know there's a Davey in
there. Is he still the manager?
Who cares?
Stugatz.
That is the right answer, actually.
They lost like 112 games this year.
They're going to eliminate Stugatz's Mets from the division.
They are today. Yes.
Stugatz is claiming that last night's 49ers-Rams game was a classic.
It was classic Jimmy G. I mean, it was classic Jimmy G. I mean, listen. He made a throw to Debo Samuel. Now, Debo did all the work. He took it 70-something yards. But Jimmy G, I love a quarterback, Dan. If he can't have one of the great ones, like Marino, Montana, Herbert, guys like that, guys who just stand
Cooper
out of the
Rush.
Field. Yeah, Cooper. Give me a guy, okay? Just give me a guy that's kind of benign, doesn't lose the game. You barely notice he's out there. Give me Jeff Hostetler. Give me Trent Dilfer. Give me, I'm telling
those
you,
shitty quarterbacks.
Give me Jimmy. He's not going to lose you games. He'll occasionally win you a game, but he'll keep you in every game.
Pretty
and
sure
that's
I've seen
what Jimmy
Garoppolo
G does.
Lose them games.
Yeah, but he kept them in those games, and he got them to those games.
This
the
is
the NFC Championship and the Super Bowl. He's a couple of throws away from being an all-time great. Give me a quarterback you don't notice.
Extra $100K for that win, also. What a deal, man.
His own missed throws. You're saying he's a couple of missed throws. Well, he's the one who missed them.
Yeah, but he got him to those games. I mean, because he has a calming effect on the team. He doesn't go for too much. He doesn't. You know, he always gets you numbers, a touchdown, very few interceptions. Good running game.
He
great
knows
defense.
Who he is,
yes.
Jimmy G.
He knows what team he's on.
Yeah.
That's exactly.
Well, not often, but there are glaring deficiencies in his game, and you would think that he'd be so easily replaceable. Yet his winning percentage compared to everybody else that's come for his job it's stellar. He's a stellar quarterback when it comes to winning percentage.
Stugatz, why are you turning away from me, ashamed from the microphone, turning your back to me? I think...
Because the analysis from the two guys who host God Bless Football is he knows who he is and he knows what team he's on. I mean...
And this is how I know who you are and how I know what team you're on.
Yeah.
You are basically, in your evolution as a broadcaster, you've decided to defend the Alex Smith take from wherever you can.
Yep.
And you are the one unashamed of saying Alex Smith should hold on to the caretaker job instead of Patrick Mahomes, who does amazing things. And this is the latest evolution of it. How will this be your religion? How will you be the saint? Who will be your saint of Alex Smith religion? It shall be Jimmy Garoppolo, correct?
Yeah, I mean, Mahomes has only done it once. Trent Dilfer did it once. Jeff Hostetler did it once, you know? I mean, listen, these quarterbacks are a little too flashy, a little, you know, look at me. Just give me a guy who's going to hand the ball off 35 times a game.
I'm sorry.
Going to make 20 passes, no interceptions, and keep you in the ball game.
I'm sorry.
That's what Jimmy G does.
I'm laughing because Roy has just injured himself. I don't know how he did it. He's had a lifetime in radio being very protective of the sound, and he just hit himself in the right eye with his headphones.
Yeah, I'm wearing two headsets right now because I'm listening to this and editing right now, and I just hit myself in the eye with my laptop.
Are you okay?
No, I'm not.
Jimmy G, that is not what I want from the quarterback position. I don't want to watch 7-10 years of that. I feel like Whittingham has watched that with Tannehill. This cusp of, I think a guy can be great. I could talk myself into it. If you give me three more weapons and I have an elite defense, maybe I can get to within a throw of the Super Bowl. I don't want the guy that the quarterback, I don't want the quarterback who has to be hidden, concealed by my coach.
We know Jimmy can't be great. We also know that he can't be lousy. That's not just, you know, a middle-of-the-road quarterback who does what, you know, he needs to do to keep his team in ball games and get him to the big game. And that's what Jimmy G is the best at. He really is. Name another quarterback who's good at that these days. Go ahead.
Why is it that of caretaker football?
Yes.
Of name what? I mean, Andy Dalton just did that.
The Red Rifle. I think even Andy Dalton threw for 300-plus yards.
But name another guy who's mediocre enough to be just caretaker football guy on, because it can't be
Kirk Cousins.
Oh my God!
He's just an average guy.
What are we doing?
He's
here?
Fine. I mean, I think his career is like he's exactly 500. He's just an average guy.
He's a guy.
Just be average. Average is enough. Just don't be below average or bad.
I mean, maybe he's a dude.
Average is good enough now. Yeah, just be average.
Yeah.
Don't be terrible.
Just don't lose the game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like Jimmy Garoppolo is exceptional at fitting a slant in 11 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. That's what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Is he throws a slant route like nobody else in the league.
Right. And you need a slant every now and then, right?
You know, he can find Deebo Samuel on a drag route.
It helps if you have Deebo on that slant.
Yes. It was a terrible throw.
You know the problem? There's too many people wanting to stand out. Just kind of fit in with the crowd. Don't stand out for being too good. Don't stand out for being too
There's
bad.
There's a lane.
Yeah, 16 years in the league, you're good, man.
Yeah.
Why do any more or less?
Jimmy Garoppolo was worse than the league last year at our favorite stat, big-time throws.
Right.
He had a big-time throw on 2.2% of his dropbacks.
What was he ranked to big-time wins, though?
Mm-hmm. I mean, good question. Dude.
Yeah, NFC Championship game.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Beat the Packers.
I mean, one at Dallas and one at Lambeau.
Yeah.
And then lost in L.A.
Right.
Yeah, so Stugatz is going to hang on to the win take as well. Even if the quarterback's
the
not
NFC
the reason.
Yes, game.
No, but he won a...
Well, no, he made it to the NFC Championship game while beating Aaron Rodgers on the road.
So he's like fourth in the league in big-time wins.
Well, there you go. Well, I mean,
top five. Four. Yeah.
He's fine.
What I'm willing to concede to Stugatz is that while you don't want your guy to just be average, it is better than this alternative that is provided as a stat from Jim Aiello about Matt Ryan, which is the other side of this. When you get the guy at the end who you didn't know was at the very end, and this stat makes an appearance. Phillip Rivers a few years ago, do you remember? He was sacked 19 times for 118 yards in 16 games. Matt Ryan has been sacked 15 times for that many yards in 4 games. It's worse to have the quarterback where you think, oh, we're just a little bit of a quarterback away. Can it be Garoppolo instead of Matt Ryan? Can it be Garoppolo instead of Carson Wentz? I'm watching something that looks spent to me, so I'll take the guy in the middle who's kind of pristine because he hasn't played that much. He's played 26 games, and he's won a bunch of them.
We're playing a game back here. Guess the next Colts quarterback.
We were doing this the other day.
Wow.
Stugatz is done with Stafford.
You think it's Stafford?
I'm done with Matthew Stafford. For me, Matthew Stafford is one of the five most overrated quarterbacks to ever win a Super Bowl.
He just won a Super Bowl.
You know what? You made ultimate winning throws. Guy was the last guy who won. Where you end all arguments by saying he won.
He's also hurt.
Matt Stafford, listen, the great quarterbacks, okay? What they do is they make any team good. He was in Detroit with Calvin Johnson. They were never, ever good.
Made the playoffs.
It took the right coach, the right situation, the right running game, the right defense, the right time, all of it for Matthew. And even then, Stafford threw the worst pass in the history of postseason play. It should have been picked off by Tampa Bay. The game should have been over. The Rams never win a Super Bowl. Matthew Stafford.
Picked off by San Francisco?
Picked off by Tampa Bay.
Yeah, because he got
away with it. They should have lost that game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They should have lost that game.
And then he made one of the biggest throws of the season to Cooper Kupp.
In the history of the sport.
To beat Brady.
Right. Yeah.
To beat
when it shouldn't have happened.
To beat Brady.
Yeah, but he shouldn't have beaten
Brady.
And
then another big one in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but he only got that pass because the other guy dropped the interception. Otherwise, game over.
What are you doing?
Matthew Stafford's not good. That's what I'm doing.
Okay, but you...
They may have lost. They lost that trade, I think.
Yep.
Goff, look at what he's doing in Detroit.
Stugatz takes no inventory of his takes, so he got so mad at me for complaining for about 10 days that Stafford, who was the highest paid quarterback in the league, was overpaid given how good he was. Mm-hmm. This was so long ago, and now he's arrived at the take, and he measures his success by do you win? Stafford just won. Doesn't that answer everything for you?
But they didn't win because of Stafford.
So zero championship. In your personal record book, not the guy who led a drive at the end with a no-look pass.
I'm just saying he's a fine quarterback. In Detroit, he was an average quarterback. Now, all of a sudden, we're talking about him like he's one of the all-time greats.
He wasn't average. He's a Hall of Famer.
No, he's not.
Last year locked it in. No. Look at the all-time passing record.
Last year, it took moving to L.A., the right situation, the right coach, the right defense. Aaron Donald's the best player on the team. It's not the quarterback.
He made the throws in the Super Bowl.
You just argued on behalf of having a quarterback that is Matthew Stafford in your judgment. You argued on behalf of, just be a guy, manages the game, and does a thing every once in a while. That's
fine.
I want.
But you guys are saying he's great.
Right.
He's a Hall of Famer.
No, he's not.
Okay. All right, guys.
I'm just saying.
I think he'll be a Hall of Famer on the basis of the accolades and the numbers that he's accrued.
100%.
But had that interception not been dropped, he wouldn't have been a Hall of Famer.
Exactly right.
I still think he might have been a Hall of Famer. No. If you look at the passing records.
Mike, I'm telling you, of all the Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, he's one of the five worst. Look at them all. He is. He's right up there with Jim Plunkett.
But you want Hostetler.
There are a lot of quarterbacks in the 70s.
God bless football.
I love Haas all over the place in this segment.
Listen, Haas doesn't win you games, but he doesn't lose you games. That's what I'm saying. Matthew Stafford can lose you a game. Hence Tampa Bay. They should have lost that game because of Matthew
and
Stafford.
And he could also win you a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Right. Well, so can Hostetler. Yeah.
No. That defense won the Super Bowl. Stafford won the Super Bowl with that throw.
But Aaron Donald didn't help.
I am watching on the television right now from last night's game. This is a funny thing that happened.
Did the Rams win that Super Bowl, or did the Bengals lose that Super Bowl?
Another good question.
Yes. When Stugatz says that last night was a classic Jimmy G game, and I am watching on my television, Stugatz, he's throwing a pass to Kittle for a touchdown, and I see clearly in the corner, and I love when this happens in sports, Marquise Goodwin is furious because he was open. The pass went to Kittle, and his teammate is just so pissed off because he ran one of those clean routes and he had the corner. He had so much more space than Kittle, and the ball was thrown to Kittle, and Goodwin was pissed. I had the touchdown right here. Why didn't you give me the touchdown?
Tony, it makes a great point back here. I don't think there's a quarterback in the league that leaves their receivers jumping in frustration more than Jimmy Garoppolo. And they won the game by two touchdowns. And you saw that multiple times in a game that they won.
All throughout the pregame, they were showing how Jimmy's eyes are not, following the right receivers when they're running routes. There was like three or four different times where there's just a tight end open by himself, kind of doing jumping jacks, like waiting for the ball. And he throws like a little 13 yard out or something. He's really bad at that.
Classic Jimmy G. Stugatz says, just for the record, because it was last night's game, Jimmy G's a quarterback you want. Stafford overrated because it's the last thing he saw.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that Jimmy G has ever lost to the Rams or Matthew Stafford. I mean, you can look it up, but I'm pretty certain he never has. Right.
Except for the NFC Championship game.
Right. Well, that one.
There is that one.
The game that, you know, quite honestly, Stafford had no business being in. That's all I'm saying about Stafford. He had no business being in the NFC Championship game.
Let's do it. Top five Super Bowl winning quarterbacks of all time. Let's just do it. This is all
top five. Because I'm working on my top five worst.
That's what I have, too. I have my top five overrated Super Bowl winning quarterbacks of all time.
Oh, I have flatly the worst quarterbacks who ever win a Super Bowl.
Let's do it.
It's essentially the same thing.
Okay, let's do it. You guys think you're going to have the same list? Do you think you're going to have a different list? Both lists are prepared. We are ready to go. The rare having of lists at the ready where they are in agreement, because I've been very frustrated with what Stugatz has brought to this segment. Stugatz, the last couple of weeks, his analysis has been a bit stinky.
It has. I mean,
on football.
21-9, Dano.
Top five overrated quarterbacks to win a Super Bowl. Stugatz, number five.
Jim Plunkett. I mean, look at the numbers. Jim Plunkett was not a very good quarterback. He was not. He won a couple of Super Bowls, I think, but he was not a very good quarterback.
Mike Ryan, number five.
This one was tough, but I'm going to go Nick Foles.
Oh, wow.
There's some bad quarterbacks.
Mark Rippon was a good quarterback, though.
Yeah, he was okay. Number four, Stugatz.
Number four for me, Troy Aikman.
Oh, Jesus. That's blasphemy right
there. He had Emmitt Smith. He had a great defense. He had great special teams, a great coach. I mean, Troy Aikman did very little to win those Super Bowls.
Okay. Now, I mean, you're
the
not
a Hall of Famer.
You're not wrong that he didn't have to throw many touchdown passes, but that's harsh. Number four, Mike Ryan.
Joe Namath.
Ooh. Oh, Joe that's Willie. A good one. That's a great one.
Yeah. Broadway Joe.
Jim Plunkett had four seasons in his career in which he had more touchdowns than interceptions.
How many years
look
did he play?
Look at his completion percentage. Look at that quarterback rating for his career.
Completion percentage, 52.5.
Look at the QB rating.
Career quarterback rating, 67.5.
Look at Joe Namath's touchdown to interception rating.
A sub-70 QB rating for Jim Plunkett.
One of the all-time greats, please.
Wait until you find how many interceptions Joe Namath threw versus how many touchdowns. Hall of Famer Joe Namath, poster boy for Jets glory and New York stardom.
Joe Namath, career, 50.1% completion. 173 touchdowns to 220 interceptions. His career quarterback rating was 65.5.
Number four, Mike?
Davis Mills is better.
My number four was Joe Namath.
All right, number three, Stugatz.
Matthew Stafford. No business being in that game. I mean, I'm sorry.
What are you doing?
It should have been picked off. Terrible job.
Number three.
Trent Dilfer.
Ooh. See, but no one thinks Dilfer is great anyway. That's why.
There's a lot to choose from. There's Brad Johnson's.
Yeah. Number two.
Yeah, but no one thinks Brad Johnson's great. That's my point.
Right. Yeah. Right. They're doing different lists. Mike's doing worse. Stugatz is doing overrated. And Stugatz is saying no one thinks that Brad Johnson is good, so he's not overrated.
Right. No one thinks Nick Foles is good.
Right. So we're not doing the same list. I'm doing worst quarterbacks to win the Super Bowl.
I was promised the same list. Number two, Stugatz.
Peyton Manning.
Just nuked my number one.
You nuked my number one.
Yeah, well, I had Joe Namath. Yeah.
All right, great.
Yeah, that's why we shouldn't have had competing lists, I guess. Because Plunkett was my number two. Peyton Manning was my number one.
Excellent work. Yeah. Excellent work.
Peyton Manning was the worst quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl.
That is correct.
That guy was garbage in Denver.
Nine touchdowns, 17 interceptions. Could not throw the ball.
Made me contemplate the future of the sport.
Shouldn't
that
have
Super
been
Bowl.
Playing. Should not have been. Neck so broken. Should not have been out there.
Yes.
As Brady continues to be out there 10 years after that.
It is. I guess it's fair in terms of the balance of karma that Peyton Manning won a Super Bowl playing that poorly. That so much of a shell of himself, considering all the great seasons he had where he didn't even make it to the Super Bowl. If you look at his two Super Bowl championships, he shouldn't have been the MVP in the first one. That should have been Dominic Rhodes.
But this is why the analysis at that position is always, Stugatz is always going to win. Measuring quarterbacks by did they win, and then after they win, tearing them down is overrated, is the formula for eternal broadcasting success.
Don Libertard.
Kensley Jansen. I got to be careful here. What did I just do there? Let me start again.
Stugatz.
He's their closer. Comes in, ninth inning, closes the game out. His name is Kenley Jansen. He has blamed his recent...
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats.
Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
For those of you who do not know, Tia Claire Toomey is the fittest athlete in the world. She is it now six times, Tia? Thank you for joining us. Is it CrossFit's game champion six times?
Yeah, that's correct. The title is the fittest on earth, but for people that aren't very familiar with the space, we definitely go with the CrossFit Games champion or the fittest on earth.
Just merely the fittest on earth. And when we talk about the dominance in the sport, how far are you removed from the people behind you? And how hard is it to keep this title when young people continue to come and try and grab it from you hungrily every year?
it's really interesting. I find that, with the younger generation coming into our sport, it's actually incredibly exciting because nowadays we're actually having young athletes or younger people aspiring and growing up to want to be a CrossFit Games athlete. And, for someone that has really only known about CrossFit space, for the last 10 years, I personally grew up wanting to go to the Olympics. And so, now we're hearing stories of these young athletes that are coming in and, obviously trying to threaten my title. But they're growing up aspiring to be CrossFit Games athletes. And, as someone that wants my legacy to live on forever and, I want to make an impact myself, it's actually incredibly humbling, but also very exciting for our sport, and something that I don't take lightly because I've worked so hard over the last 10 years, and to make sure when that time comes for me to retire, that my legacy still lives on.
Tia Claire, that was an excellent ambassador answer. I'm not sure, though, that you answered my question of how dominant you are and how these young people can't actually get close to where you are.
Greatest of all time. She's the Michael Jordan of her sport.
She did a great job of saying, it's so flattering that they keep coming after me, but they also keep losing, and they lose by a lot. Can you explain, for those who do not know, how much distance there is between you and whoever is second place?
Well, I mean... this is a interesting question because as I like to stay humble, but I guess I go out there absolutely every time I'm out on that competition floor, and I don't want anyone to come anywhere close to threatening my title. There's been years where I have literally had the highest points ranking across, both men and women. I don't know how else to explain to you that.
It's your hardest test to be humble while being this dominant. Certainly the weights are not the challenge of this. You're trying to publicly be graceful about something. You're crushing everybody.
I appreciate it, Dan. I appreciate it. You definitely... you're definitely challenging me here, that's for sure.
Do you ever skip leg days?
No. I don't really skip anything, to be honest. It's really interesting because, as a CrossFit athlete, we're trying to prepare ourselves for everything and anything. It's so important to, really, I guess when you look at the human body, we're trying to make sure that we are prepared for whatever they throw at us. And, when it comes to our training for CrossFit, where, no matter what it is, there's so many different fitness domains. So You know, I'm squatting like every single day. You know, I'm doing something upper body every single day, and we're trying to build that foundation and build that variety within the body. So, you know, it's not your typical gym session where, you know, you'll do leg day on Monday, you know, you'll do chest Tuesday, back Wednesday. There's definitely a lot more to it when it comes to training for the CrossFit Games.
So the reputation that CrossFit has, especially from people like me who don't do CrossFit, is, oh, you're going to get hurt doing that. Everybody hurts their back. It's such unnatural motions. You should not be doing that. Have you sustained major injuries doing CrossFit? Is it as unsafe as they allege?
So, you know, that's an interesting thing. And I actually find that this day and age when you know, we're not having as many comments like that. When I very first started, I had the exact same, you know, look as you did, you know, and it was a little daunting because, you know, when you don't fully understand and you're not fully educated on what the sport provides, you definitely can feel a little overwhelmed with what you're asked for. But CrossFit, if you have a really good coach and you go into the gym, you go into a daily class, you know, you should be coached absolutely every single time that you're there. And so what that will entail is creating that, you know, guidance when you're in that class, that when you're wanting to go and lift, you know, 100 pounds more than what you really should be, you have that coach there that's guiding you and explaining to you, hey, you know, you're not meant to do it this way. You have to, you know, start from, you know, just the barbell, for example, and learn the movement, learn the technique. You know what? Truthfully, I actually did injure my back when I very first started. And, you know, learning from that experience, I can only have myself to blame. And you know what? It was because I didn't leave my ego at the door. And, you know, I pushed through it. I went through, you know, I ignored it and I thought that I could push through it. And it just wasn't the right thing to do. And from that experience, I learned from it. And you know what? Had I explained or expressed that to the coach at the time, you know, he would have been able to guide me and, you know, remove that situation.
I know you said you do something every day to really work on that foundation, but I want you to paint the picture what your laziest day looks
oh,
like.
Oh, yeah.
Are we ordering a bunch of pizzas? Yeah, yes. Are we watching like seven yeah, straight hours of Stranger yeah. Things?
Cheat day. Your I worst mean, cheat day.
You know what? I could definitely challenge you guys on a lazy day, because when it comes to rest day, man, I rest hard. And that consists of literally laying on the lounge, making sure that I am fully recovering and just, you know, watching Netflix or Hulu, you know, eating as much as I can. Nutrition is really important, you know, like you don't want to just be eating, you know, processed foods or anything.
Oh, come on, eat some processed foods.
You rest hard?
Yes. I rest better than you do. I'm telling you right now.
You
I'm a better rester than
I
you are.
I think we need to have that competition. Yes. Not cross.
Have you ever sat on a couch for 48 hours and watched football like I have?
How about seven straight commercial-free hours of football? Yeah. Yeah?
You don't know how to rest.
I mean, you know, we've definitely, you know, during Christmas time have probably come close to that, but I don't know if 48 hours straight is something that I have ever done.
But what is the junk?
Yes.
What is the processed food? You put down your sword at the feet of a better rester, Stugat. Give us your sloppiest day.
If you have to eat processed food.
The worst of it. Where's the ice cream? Where's the pizza? Where's the processed food?
Oh, okay. So, you know, I don't mind some Domino's.
Nice.
You know, I've definitely had, you know, my fair share of pizza. I feel like, you know, my go-to is I'm more of a sweet person than a savory person. So definitely chocolate and, you know, all kinds of sugars. But, you know, they're definitely on days that I try and make sure that I'm not eating or indulging in that as much, just because of the recovery. It doesn't really allow me to recover. And the next day I show up and I'm feeling a lot worse, or
it's
I'm
not
feeling
worth
a
it.
Little inflamed,
right.
if you will.
It's not worth it.
But
yeah.
that's the difference. She works out the next day. We do it again.
Well, but she's
I
also
mean, that's
saying,
why I'm better than
she's
her.
She's also
right.
saying, yes, you're a better rester than her. But I want to get to the audience understanding, because, Tia Claire, I don't believe they understand how competitive this world is. You can only know this from inside of it. So can you answer some questions for me quickly that would explain to people how fit you are? When you say the most extreme exercise thing that I can do 100 of these, 500 of these, whatever it is, what do you point at and say, this is something that not even my competitors can do because I am obsessive compulsive about being good at this at the extreme?
Man, I wish I could answer that quickly for you, but that's a tough one. You know, I think it comes down to the particular workout that we're doing. So, you know, we do definitely have like little challenges of like, you know, how many pull-ups you can do. And I'm sure there's people out there who can, you know, do more than say 64 unbroken pull-ups, but, you know, doing things like, 64 unbroken pull-ups. I'd challenge you guys to see how many pull-ups you can
we
do.
Cannot
no,
do
thank you.
The whole
no,
room
no.
could not do 64, I
challenge
don't think.
Not
the whole
accepted.
Room.
Yep.
I don't think anyone, it's not accepted.
Every time I do that, I feel the onset of a hernia.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's interesting, yeah. I mean, it's challenging, but you know what? We train every single day, so it's to be expected in a way.
Juju thinks he can do 64 straight pull-ups.
Salute to you, ma'am, but I will eat you for lunch on pull-ups.
Oh wow.
No, but salute to you. It's unbroken pull-ups.
Unbroken, yeah.
You can break them, unbreak them. I will put them across okay. your back.
I don't think you can do it,
all right,
Juju.
Well, we're going to have to do this.
Yeah, we need to set up a time for you to come here to Nashville and do the challenge.
We will have to send Juju out there only for the pull-up challenge. What do you regard, though, as the thing on your resume that you can do physically that represents to you beyond the titles, right? Because it's an overall fitness, I understand. But where your strengths reside are where? Where are the advantages that you have over everyone else in your field?
Everything.
Every single exercise. See, there you go.
That's
I love
how
it.
You
there
do
you
it.
Go. That's
yes.
how you do it without the
That's
humility
how you talk
right
trash.
There. So you're saying there's nothing you hate to do. There's nothing. You don't hate leg day. There's nothing that you hate to go in the gym and do.
Nothing. Yeah. Bring it to me. I'm up for any challenge. I love it.
Can you take us through just your most extreme workout day? How long is it? Take us through just step by step how much of what you're doing on the day that is most rigorous.
So we've done like 14-hour days leading into the CrossFit Games, and that consists of you know, doing a long endurance run in the morning. It consists of going to the pool and doing some swimming. It consists of about an 8-hour day at the gym, and that consists of doing all kinds of strength work, squatting, pressing, you know, doing a lot of pulling, a lot of conditioning pieces. The best way to kind of describe our training is, you know, you think of all kinds of different sports, and we're dabbling in that, and we're trying to you know, do it. We're trying to get better at it and, you know, build that fitness. So they're long days.
What is your caloric intake daily?
Well, it really depends, but I'm a more of a smaller athlete, so I only really have to try and make sure I'm eating around the 2,500 to 3,000 calorie mark.
That's light work.
Me too.
I can't believe it's that low. I can't believe
that's a morning
that you're
me.
Spending 14 hours in the gym. You're clearly burning more than you're eating there.
Yeah. It's definitely a lot smaller than what people think, but I'm also quite a small athlete as well.
Does anyone have an enviable body fat percentage to you, or are you at what is your ideal? And do you just notice the perfections, or are the imperfections, whatever they are, if there are any, maddening to you?
I don't know. I don't think, well, for me personally, I definitely don't worry about, you know, my body fat percentage or anything like that. If anything, I'm trying to make sure that I have like, a bit of fat on me, if that makes sense. It is hard because especially leading in the CrossFit Games, I am very lean just with the amount of training that I'm actually doing. But, there are some athletes that, I find are too small. But again, it really comes down to the athlete itself. They're probably just a naturally small person, which then complements their gymnastics and their body weight movements. And then you've got your bigger athletes that do perform well in more of the odd object or, the heavy strength movement. So for me, I actually like to compete around 140 pounds, and that allows me to move weight efficiently, but also perform body weight movements efficiently as well.
Tia Clara, thank you. Congratulations on your dominance. Congratulations on having not a single weakness. Stugatz likes to ask this question.
I do, yeah. I'm wondering how long in a crazy hypothetical scenario, if I was bothering you and you needed to kill me, how long would it take you, Tia, to kill me?
It depends on which way you want to go about it.
whichever way you prefer, the quickest way.
Beaten to death by barbells.
Yes.
I've got you in a minute.
You could just run around the block once. Wow. You can challenge him to a race around the block, and then we are
sending Juju to Nashville to take on this push-up or this pull-up challenge with you. Tia, thank you for being on with us. Minute. Tia Clara Toomey, the most dominant, fittest person in the world.
Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.